A recurring theme will be biblical warnings alerting us concerning man's way of counseling. If you've never had an opportunity to compare and contrast God's way and man's way in counseling, there'll be opportunity in this class. That's kind of the way the Scripture deals with every issue. The Scriptures measure on what is right. Here's the truth. But it has a minor theme all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Watch out for this, watch out for that, watch out for the other. And that's the way we'll treat this subject as well. And you'll find the Scriptures are packed with that approach. Textbooks, two will be used. A large one written by Ed Bulkley and a smaller one written by myself. The first one is How Big Is Your God by Ed Bulkley, published by Harvest House. Ed Bulkley is a pastor of an evangelical free church in the Denver area. He has a large counseling ministry attached to his church and under the oversight of the elders and pastoral staff. He has a national radio broadcast called Return to the Word. He's a man I love and respect very much, and he's a very dear friend of mine. We've done a lot of ministry together. I've enjoyed being on his national radio broadcast often, answering questions on biblical counseling issues. And this is the third book he has written, and I believe you will enjoy it very, very much. It's fascinating reading as well as solid biblical input. And that'll be one of our textbooks. The other is much smaller. His is a few hundred pages. The other book is much smaller. It's one Pastor Chuck asked me to write a few years ago for the initial three of the Calvary Classics Basics series. It's called The Psychologizing of the Faith. That is the influence in the church world of psychological thinking from the world and how it is redefining how we understand and explain the Bible. You know, kind of backwards. We should be telling the world what reality is and how life is to work. But there's been a strange thing going on for about 30 years at least. And Dr. J. Vernon McGee and A.W. Tozer and others warned about it 40 years ago. But few paid attention. And now it's just a flood into the church of the humanistic theories of man, giving us a whole new perspective. And the book is about that, comparing and contrasting basic foundation stones of the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and instead what's happening in the churches on that issue. And that's a much shorter book by the format. By the way, appreciate your prayers for a project we have in writing. This class, just finished putting it, after 3 years of work and prayer and labor, putting it into book form, and we're like 95% through the progress. We're on the rough draft final graphics of this dear gal from Calvary Chapel, Chino Valley, who's doing the graphics work on it. And we're now proofing what she has done to see that something wasn't inadvertently left out. But sure appreciate your prayers for the conclusion of that. If we get it done before this quarter is over, which it could be published before then, I'll let you know and bring some here if you're interested in it. Note, a set of class outlines for this entire course is available in the bookstore and is to be used by all students. So not only get the two textbooks, get that little set of class outlines. Though it's a small investment of, I don't know what, a few dollars, it'll let you track right along. And it'll be important to have it because we're going to go often fast and hard. And if we need be, we'll stop. That was Isaiah chapter 61, you know. But rather just keep pressing on, and then you'll have them all there, and there's even room to take notes. Attendance, Calvary Chapel Bible College, if you're taking it for academic credit in particular, requires 100% attendance. That may sound kind of, you know, come on, 100% attendance, impossible. Well, we understand that that doesn't mean you will every time be physically present. But whenever illness or emergency results in absence, students are to listen to the tape of the class that they missed and turn in a copy of the notes taken. Or if you want to, just take notes right on your syllabus of class lectures, you know, just as though you're in class. And then just show it to Glenna along with, you know, whatever the reason is you weren't here. And in virtually every case, you'll just be marked as though you were seated right here for the entire evening. So getting 100% attendance is not near as foreboding as it sounds. In fact, most students who take it for academic credit, most do hit 100% attendance. And the administration here, final grades, they lower final grades one half letter grade for each absence that's not handled in this matter. So sounds to me wise to handle it in that matter. examinations, if you like them, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. There will be no midterm or final exam in this class. Probably doesn't sadden many of you. I never liked tests when I was in school. It seemed like I went to school for 50 years, you know. I never liked tests. And I found out when I began teaching, I didn't like giving them. So since we don't have to do that, we won't do it. But that doesn't mean there won't be plenty of opportunity to engage on the content of what we're studying. There'll be plenty of opportunity to do that. In fact, it's open-ended for you. You can just go for it. I'll share the minimum with you for academic credit, but you can go for it. Due on October 13th, I think that's 2 weeks from tonight, a book report of one page or more. One page is sufficient. That little compact paperback that I wrote is just like 75 pages or so. One page is sufficient as a report. One page or more. If you want to write four on it, you're welcome to. It's not a limitation on the psychologizing of the faith. We'll talk about how to do these book reports in a minute. Due on November 10th. That's 6 weeks, I think, from tonight. 4 weeks after the small book report. A book report of three pages or more on How Big Is Your God? A paperback by Ed Bulkley. And all those are over in the bookstore. Three pages or more. Three pages are fine. And you can learn well in three pages. And you can academically, you know, if you feel it's important to, you know, get an A or a B, you could easily do that in three pages. That's fine. But if you want to write 13 or 23, I mean, we've had papers that were 20 pages long. That's fine, because it's not, you know, how easy is it for us to read it, is what do you want to do with it? As far as I'm concerned, these papers are for your benefit as you grow in the Lord and serve the Lord. And I encourage you to write them in a way that you can grow and think in and apply the things you're studying, and even put them in a format, if you want to, that you can sit down and share them with loved ones, relatives, friends. I mean, I encourage you, make the papers as useful in your own life and ministry as you want to. You don't have to fit them in a certain way for me, really. Really write them more for what the Lord is teaching you and how He wants to use you. Pretty simple. In each book report, describe and evaluate the main points of the book. It's pretty simple, like an overview summary. Also specify and elaborate on the strengths and possible weaknesses. This book was especially strong in this area. I wish it would have also dealt with this area, if you want to do something like that. As well as, and here's an important part, and consider using at least a third of your work on this, as well as explaining any way or ways that you benefited personally from the books. You know, things God confirmed for you, opened up for you, encouraged you with, resolve dilemmas over, you know, some way. So you're getting a perspective on the whole book. Then you're commenting on its strongest areas and maybe something you questioned, or I wish this could have also been there. Or you can leave that out if you think there's, you know, not some major thing missing. But then at the end, personally, what God did in my heart and life on this issue or that issue, and list whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you can go on and on with that if you want to. But it's kind of open-ended, but a little bit of structure to give direction, okay? Any question on those book reports? Due on December 8th, that would be 4 weeks later, after November 10th, due on December 8th, a paper of 5 pages or more. And on the academic side, and even the learning side, if you're auditing, you're welcome to do these assignments. Audit students do not have to do these. It's more related to just attendance and being here, learning. But on those getting academic credit in particular, or those who are auditing and want to do the exercises of learning, a paper of 5 pages or more, and this is the major part of the academic. If you didn't get the handouts just raise your hand. Anyone who did not get three handouts? Okay, there are a few back there, Glenna. Maybe you can take some back. Thanks a lot. Sorry about that. It didn't click as you came in. And I know in night school, night class, sometimes with work and family and all, you might have to come in a few minutes late at times. I know sometimes it's a hustle, isn't it, to get done, get home, get going. So we'll try to be understanding and helpful and watching out for you. Paper of 5 pages due on December 8th, 5 pages or more. You can go on if you want. We've had little books written on this one. Paper of 5 pages or more on my personal developing perspective on Christian counseling. Class notes and course textbooks can be used along with any other desired sources. Some issues from the class sessions that could be included. These could be headings if you wanted to make them so in your paper. What counseling is. Who is to do counseling. How to be equipped for counseling ministry. The major aspects of counseling ministry. Significant warnings about counseling ministry. And actually, all those things will come up in our studies in the class. If you want to use nothing but your notes in class, that's fine too. You can approach it any way you want. If you want to introduce some of the books, that's fine too. If you have some biblical counseling books that you've been reading or have read and you want to kind of correlate them in on some of these issues, go for it. Whatever would be most helpful and useful to you in thinking through these issues, growing, and even being ready to sit down and tell someone else what these issues are all about. Note, please type all papers if possible. I know that's not always possible. Using double space format, if typing is not possible, please write clearly, using only one side of the paper so it's easier to read it that way. Grading. Reading and reporting on the first book will account for 15% of the grade. Reading and reporting on the second book will account for 35% of the grade. And the reason between the big difference there is the second book is so much larger than the first book. And then my personal developing perspective on Christian counseling will account for 50% of the grade. Because really, that's like a personal summary and application of the entire course is what you're doing in that last one. Any questions on that, on the academic side of things? Good. I think that's pretty straightforward, and certainly welcome to talk to me personally or to Glenna on that as well. All right, let's prepare to go on. If you have the syllabus of lecture outlines, you can just get ready to open that and study along, take notes if you like. We'll begin to study in that direction and encourage you. I'll try to make clear the pattern, the outline and all tonight. If you don't have that, you can just take some, jot down some notes or scripture on a piece of paper. Let's pray together, shall we, concerning our time tonight and our time together in the Word of God. Lord, we know in your Word, Lord Jesus, you are called the Wonderful Counselor. And we are here to sit at your feet this quarter. We thank you, Lord, that you're interested in our lives, that you love us, that you're for us and not against us, and you have all wisdom and compassion. And what we need, you have. Thank you for your word, Lord. Help us not to underestimate it in its richness and depth and breadth, in its power, in its light. Lord, I thank you for every life here in this room. Thank you for bringing these hearts and lives here to study together, brothers and sisters in the family of God, the kingdom of heaven, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you would bless them greatly in these studies. Bring them insight, encouragement, strength, blessing. Lord, do every good work that you desire for them and in them and with them. Bless our fellowship together as we get acquainted somewhat in these evenings together. And Lord, above all, we welcome your presence among us. We know that you're right here with us where just two or even three are gathered in your name. You're there in the midst to accomplish your purposes and your work. And we thank you that you are the head of the church, that you're in charge of our lives. And we're here, Lord, to learn from you, not to build up our own opinions, but just to hear from you. Let you shape our mind and our thinking. And Lord, we know that you can do great things with these hours that we'll gather together. And we thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. And we ask you for the glory of your name and the building up of our lives, that you would prove that truth once again in these 12 weeks. We thank you, Lord. We have expectation, anticipation toward you. And we ask you to just pour out your Spirit, filling us with insight and light and truth. Lord, do a wonderful work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Counseling God's Way, our study of the Word of God on this subject is broken into some major sections. If you have your course description sheet on the back side of it, there's an outline. I've already done some marking on mine to be sure we fit all the studies in our 24 hours of 12 weeks. You can see that it's divided into major sections. What counseling is, God's way in counseling, counselors and their equipping, foundational truths for counseling, major threats to counseling God's way, and counseling session guidelines. And all of those are just going to be Bible studies. All those issues come straight out of the Word of God. The issue we're starting with is a critical one, what counseling is. What counseling is. But before we go that far, let's think for a few minutes about this subject, counseling God's way. Share together a threefold purpose I think God has in it. And I'd even like to precede that with just a few minutes of testimony, both to acquaint ourselves together and also sort of build a setting for these studies. The history of the Counseling God's Way studies go back in my own pilgrimage with the Lord, including getting saved back the last week of 1965, and then the next year married to my dear wife and partner in joy now, Deanie, for 32 and a half years. And then 3 years later, I was pastoring a church in Dallas, Texas, and then pastored for 25 years, 14 years in Dallas, Texas, 11 years at Calvary Chapel of Irvine. The church I pastored in Dallas started off as a Dallas Seminary Bible church, conservative, typical Dallas Seminary Bible church, where I was studying at that time in the Word of God. And my wife and I thought we were just going to Dallas for 4 years for their the only Bible study program they had in those days was a four-year program. And the Lord surprised us. First year there at the seminary, a small group in our home grew and became a church and ended up pastoring there 14 years. And then 11 years at Calvary Chapel of Irvine. By the time we left this Bible church in Texas, we've gone through radical revival, transformation, and became very much like a Calvary Chapel, though not officially affiliated with the Calvary Chapels, though still with great love and appreciation for Dallas Seminary, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Ryrie and Dr. Hendricks and Dr. Gene Getz and all those guys that the Lord let me spend many, many, many hours every year with. They were a little skeptical of this drift into the Calvary Chapels, but but that's all right. Now Dr. Walvoord teaches at Calvary Chapel, so there you go. You know, it's kind of come full circle, which is great. I'm just delighted that he's doing that. I had a great talk with him recently in Dallas. I get there two or three, four times a year to minister, and had a wonderful visit with Dr. Walvoord on the last trip about his ministry in the Calvary Chapels, because I knew when I went to Dallas Seminary, you couldn't even apply to the seminary if you were in a Calvary Chapel. Couldn't even apply. And when I got interested in the Calvary Chapels and was blessed by Chuck Smith, it was kind of like, oh man, I think we're losing one here. And now, Dr. Walvoord's teaching, he taught here at the Bible College recently. And Gene Getz, who was a dear friend and professor there and longtime Dallas Seminary, he just did a men's retreat here recently. So God's bringing the body together in Christ. I love it. It's wonderful. And during that heritage of in the Bible, where, and at the seminary there, my love for the Word was nurtured. I definitely don't believe you have to go to seminary to serve the Lord. I was so naive, I thought the only way you could learn the Bible was to go to seminary. Of course, the reason I felt that way is because they weren't teaching us the Bible at the church I got saved in, you know. Well, I guess if you want to know the Bible, you know, if you want anything beyond God and country and politics and the John 3:16, I guess you just have to go to seminary. And went there, and I was blessed, and I praise God for that heritage. But I thank God for bringing Pastor Chuck into our lives back in 1972, and ever since we've been deeply involved in the Calvary Chapels. And 11 years of pastoring at Calvary Chapel Irvine. During those 25 years, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands of times, God put me in counseling situations. And yeah, I took some counseling classes at the seminary, but though there was some help there, there was some, you know, chaff and froth and foam. And the Lord really taught me to counsel by getting face-to-face with hungry or hurting or desperate or seeking saints and just prayerfully cry out to God and get in His Word for answers. And 25 years of doing that gave me a real passion to counsel from the Word of God. And I started out with a real interest for man's way of counseling. I mean, you could have pushed me with a feather and sent me headlong into becoming, you know, Mr. Psychotherapist. I mean, I was just totally intrigued with human psychological theory. And yet I began to see, oh my goodness, the power, the answers in the Word of God. And then I began to notice this influence taking place where the world's ways were kind of affecting the way God's people counseled. I thought, man, something doesn't seem right here. I mean, I'm no Mr. Know-it-all or no genius, but what are we doing in the church? And I began to search that out in the Scriptures and share with fellow pastors. And really, all of it kind of came toward a climactic head during the last couple years I was at Calvary Chapel of Irvine. In the area of counseling, I felt the Lord was leading me in between book studies of the Bible, which I love to emphasize as a pastor, to biblical topical studies intermittently between. And it was on my heart to do a biblical counseling series for our church family, Calvary Chapel Irvine, just as a pastor. And I just approached it like I would any subject ever, just get in the Word of God and find out what it has to say and teach it. And months of preparation for that, you know, on the years of counseling, I just had tons of Scripture, just tons, and I hardly knew where to start. I mean, I, in preparing, for months, just gathered Scripture references that related to counseling. And all of a sudden, I had this mountain of Scripture verses, like, oh my goodness, Lord, I didn't even realize how much you had to say on the subject. Now what do I do? You know, and I cried out to the Lord to lead and guide, and He led us in a series of topical studies, biblically covered in exposition, on counseling. We called it Counseling God's Way. And it ended up 11 weeks long, an hour Sunday morning and an hour Wednesday night. So 22 hours of study. And some of our elders, the Lord laid on their heart a burden. They said, Bob, you should offer those tapes to Calvary Chapel pastors. They counsel all the time. They're committed to the Word of God. They'd probably love to have some resource like that. So we prayed about it and thought, well, sure, if a few of them want that, we'll do that. And we've been sending out hundreds of tapes near and far through, you know, regularly through Living in Christ Ministries. So we sent a letter along with the first tape, which was an overview, to every Calvary Chapel pastor in the world. And the response was astounding. Overnight, we went from sending out hundreds of tapes to sending out thousands of tapes. We offered those 22 studies, those 22 tapes, as a gift to their ministry, to any Calvary Chapel pastor who wanted it, and we were sending out thousands upon thousands every month. And, well, that was kind of a wake-up call. Like, oh, my goodness, there's an issue there. There's hunger out there. And then that summer at family camp, Brian Broderson, pastor of Calvary Chapel Vista, who'd become a dear, dear friend by doing joint family camps for, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years, He was the first one to call us. The letter went out. 2 days later, he was on the phone. Bob, we've got to have those tapes. We want those. We believe that the people of God need the Word of God to get God's counsel. And so we sent them, and he listened to them, and he caught me at a pastor's conference at Costa Mesa. He said, Bob, when we do church camp this year together, why don't you pray about summarizing those 22 hours in 5 or 6 hours and do 1 or 1.5 hours each day and just give people from the other 4 or 5 Calvaries joining us, just give them an overview on the subject. And I thought and prayed about that. Boy, that sounds right. And that actually was our first seminar. And then we came down the mountain, and folks from our church said, Bob, you got to do that for the whole church. Review the whole thing in 6 hours. So we planned a Saturday to do it, and we thought, you know, we were still broadcasting on K-Wave at that time. We just announced to the radio listening audience, if you want to come, we're having a free seminar on biblical counseling. And people came from 5 counties in Southern California, and some people as far away as San Joaquin Valley. And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord, this is far bigger issue of hunger and need than we ever dreamed of. And it turned out that most of the folks there were pastors or staff leaders or ministry servants in churches. And that very next week, we began getting phone calls, would you please come and do that in our church or our city? And in a year period or so, it led me out of Calvary Chapel Irvine, my dear friend and buddy and assistant there, John Stewart, who often usually teaches this class now. Since it's elective, usually I'm only have time to teach the required classes here, but this semester, day and night, get to do it. Usually John teaches this now. He went through all of it with us. And the Lord led us out, and John Stewart now pastors Calvary Chapel of Irvine. And the Lord has had me the last 6 years or so just traveling near and far, teaching on this subject. And praise the Lord. The Lord has not sent me any place but what the saints have been generally, basically, from the range of open to absolute starved to study on this subject. I must say, too, to be comprehensive, that everywhere we go to teach on it, it's like warfare rumbles, too. Because this is one of the major, major issues in the church world today. And I don't know about you, I don't like controversy, I don't want confrontation, but let's face it, when God speaks, that settles it no matter who says otherwise, you know. And so sometimes, you know, folks come to the seminar with their lynch rope in their satchel. But every time I found God has even met the most skeptical on his terms in the Word of God and begun to give them a whole new view of the whole issue. So that's kind of the history on this. And then when Larry Taylor was still at the Bible College, he called me and asked if I'd come and start teaching the introduction of biblical counseling and just do it from the Counseling God's Way class. So we took the 22-hour series and just expanded it a bit for the Bible College. So that's the history on it. Now, what is the purpose of the class? Purpose is threefold. Threefold. And there should be a place on your first page of notes even, maybe to three bullets or dots there to write these. The purpose. Number one, to allow God to counsel us a bit his way. Every Christian needs God's counsel regularly. Wherever I have taught this subject, whether it's a Bible college class or a seminar or Sunday morning or Wednesday night services, we've taught in all those settings, the number one thing I have noticed God doing as we're studying counseling God's way, God is counseling his people. I've seen that. And don't be surprised if the Lord gives you many words of counsel during this quarter. Not because I necessarily sense you need it. I probably wouldn't have a clue. I do believe God can give a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, but he might not give me a clue. He just might have me bury my nose in the Bible and teach. But he'll be counseling. He will. And that's our number one purpose, to let God counsel us a bit his way. Then related to that, number two, to allow God to equip us a bit to give counsel his way. to give counsel his way. See, all of us are called on by God to give his counsel periodically. The phone rings, a friend is in tears, they tell you what happened, then they ask one question that makes you the counselor. What should I do? What is happening? Why this? What now? And boom, you're the counselor. A friend at church grabs you after the service. You sit down with him. You can just see the strain, the tension, the impossibility that they're under, and they began to pour out their heart. They want your help. And you're the counselor. I am convinced biblically that the vast majority of counsel that God wants to take place in the body of Christ is to take place spontaneously, informally, in the one another relationships of the Church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't rule out a more formal setting if it's done God's way. But that's sort of just an addendum. That's sort of just an added-on thing. We're a family. Families are to love and minister one to another. And we'll see that counseling is one of the one another ministries listed in the New Testament. We all need counsel periodically. We're all called to give counsel regularly. So that's the second purpose. And the third purpose, we've alluded to it already a bit, to have God warn us concerning counseling man's ways. All of us face the influence of human theories of counseling virtually every week of our lives. In our culture, through the media, books, programs, and in the church as well. In books especially, but also radio programs, and often the teaching and preaching, and especially if you go for counseling without discernment or guidance or direction. So those are the three purposes: to be counseled a bit by the Lord, to be equipped a bit to counsel, and third, to be warned about counseling man's way. I mentioned already there are more scriptures in the outline than we can probably follow, but we'll leave them there for correlation, okay? Let me pull out my glasses because I'm noticing that my notes have shrunk since I first wrote them down. Did I write those? Whoever read those? Let's look at our first issue, what counseling is. What counseling is. This is a great place to start biblically. The reason is, you mentioned counseling. Here we're going to talk about counseling. People's thoughts and minds run in all kinds of directions. What, therapy? Yeah. Counseling. Oh, well whose approach are you going to use? You know, Carl Rogers or Abraham Maslow? I mean, what kind of counseling will this be? You know? Well, none of the above. Well, then how can it be counsel? I mean, all kinds of ideas come up when people hear the word counseling. We want to know what it is from God's perspective, and that's our first heading. What counseling is, that is, if you're going to think about counseling God's way, what is counseling? Let's look in the Old Testament first. We'll come to this verse in a while, but it's good to introduce it right here. You'll find it later in your notes. I think it's on the top of page 2. But and that's Isaiah 9:6, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. If you look at the top of your note page, under what counseling is, the first of six sections, our study number 1 out of 22 studies. First study is called The Lord as Counselor. This is the anchor issue in counseling God's way. This is the issue. Everything else we're going to look at for the next 11 weeks, and even the rest tonight, is all related to this one great truth, that in the kingdom of heaven, the Lord is the counselor. See, that's the great difference between counseling God's way and counseling man's way. In the world, man counsels man. In the kingdom of heaven, God counsels man. That's how radical the difference is. And the choice is for any of us. Do we want man counseling us or God counseling us? But from God's perspective, there's no choice. He intends to be our counselor. In fact, his name is called Wonderful Counselor, one of the title names, a descriptive name of the Lord, telling us what he wants to be in our lives. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Lord as counselor. It's the number one issue in defining what counseling is all about. First, you got to know who is supposed to be doing it. And it's supposed to be the Lord himself. What a hope that builds. Oh my goodness. Man gropes and guesses and imagines and theorizes, and God just says, boom, here's the truth. And he knows. In the Old Testament, let's look at this issue. The Lord is counselor. Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. God is speaking and he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will counsel you. Could be translated guide you. Similar, you know, guidance, counseling, synonymous. Depending on your translation, it would say counsel or guide. I will guide you. I will counsel you. The Lord himself wants to instruct us, teach us, and guide us. He wants to be our counselor, and he does it in the way you should go. How does man counsel? In the way you want to go. In this age of relativism and self-centered thinking, counseling is about me finding the way I like through life. Hey, what works for me? That's not God's way to counsel. God says, I'll counsel you in the way you should go. I know the path you could take and should take, and my counsel is to get you on and move you down that path. The Lord is our counselor, and he has a path to counsel us in. We'll look at that next week, what that path is. Psalm 73:24. Psalm 73:24. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. That's the way the Lord wants to work in our lives. The Lord himself, he wants to counsel us, guide us with his counsel, and then afterward receive us to glory. The picture is this. All through life, the Lord wants to guide and counsel us. And then we just walk right on into his presence and his arms forever in glory. I mean, that's the Lord's way. He wants to counsel us and guide us right through life, stepping right into eternity. And then, of course, praise God, we won't even have an option after that. The only counselor left will be him. You know, he'll be the one we'll be paying attention to forever. Those next scripture, we won't take time to look at all of them, but let's glance at Psalm 25 on that line. Psalm 25, there's a very fascinating insight on the Lord as counselor and what counseling is. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who is the man that fears the Lord? What happens in the life of those who fear the Lord, respect the Lord, revere the Lord? Him, that person who fears the Lord, shall he, the Lord, teach in the way he, the Lord, chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Who's the man that fears the Lord? He's the man that gets taught the way of the Lord and he prospers in it. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he, the Lord, will show them his covenant. Verse 14, that word secret, in some translations, more is given on that word, especially in marginal rendering in some translations. That word could be translated, that word secret could be translated, literally could be translated, intimate counsel. Intimate counsel. That's why it's called secret. You know, not a counsel for your heart and life that's just public for everyone, but God guiding you in a very personal, intimate, direct way. The intimate counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him. Oh, it's so sad how many do not fear the Lord in the arena of counseling. They don't respect the Lord. They don't consider the Lord is the wonderful counselor. So they go out seeking the suggestions, guesses of human experts. In fact, a popular move in the church today is if you want to help people, you've got to become an expert on people. That's not solid biblical reasoning. It makes sense in the world. I mean, that's the way you do it in the world. It doesn't make sense in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to help people in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to get to know the Lord. Who he is, what he's done, what he says, what his ways of wisdom are. That's how you help people. You don't become a people expert, you become a God pursuer. That's how you help people. And the intimate counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him, those who respect him, have a reverence for him, believe he is who he says he is, believe that he is the wonderful counselor, and they get their counsel from him, and they point others in the same direction. I want to be one who fears the Lord, not with dread and apprehension, because he's our loving Heavenly Father, but with respect, agreeing that he is who he said he is and he can do what he says he'll do. He is our wonderful counselor. And to such, he gives intimate counsel and shows them his covenant, opens up for them how to walk with him and live with him. Tremendous truth. The intimate counsel of the Lord is with those who fear him. Let's be those who fear the Lord, respect him as our wonderful counselor, and urge others to do the same. Now, for a few minutes, let's look at some other verses that don't directly use terms guidance or counseling, but in light of the fact that can be documented with literally hundreds of passages, we just pick two or three just to utilize our time well. Since the scriptures document clearly that the Lord is to be our counselor, let's look at some scriptures that have significant counseling implications in light of the fact that the Lord is our counselor. For example, take a famous psalm like 23, a psalm I like to spend some time praying in virtually every day, no matter where else I'm reading, studying, or praying. What a tremendous psalm. Sad that most people only get acquainted with it at funeral services. Yeah, this is a good psalm to die by, but this is even a greater psalm to live by. You know, this is a fantastic psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the great biblical patterns in all of Scripture appears here. The statement, the Lord is. There's no more important statement in all the Bible than statements, the Lord is. Boy, that's time to listen up. Hearing from God, truth about who God is, and who he wants to be to us, there's nothing more important in all the universe than hearing the Lord is, and then whatever follows that. And in counseling, the most important thing we can ever share with people is who the Lord is. He's got to be their hope. He's got to be their salvation. He's got to be their wisdom and strength. We can never share anything more important in a counseling situation than such truth as the Lord is, and then let the Bible fill it out. The Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd, one who owns sheep and guards sheep and guides sheep. We're the sheep, and the Lord is our shepherd. Just came back to my mind. You might think, what does Psalm 23 have to do with counseling? I remember our offices when we left Calvary Chapel of Irvine. Our precious buddy Brian Broderson invited me down to Vista to hang out. He says, you know, Bob, you're going to need a home base. Why don't you just come around here? We'll give you an office, you know, and just let this be like your home base and hang out with us, worship, teach a lot, take part in the staff meetings, just, you know, treat it like home. It was a tremendous home for 5 years before the Lord sent us here 2 years ago to kind of make this home base. Tremendous time there. And our office, they were pretty maxed out there, you know, the offices. There wasn't room for offices. And I knew that. And I said, you know, that's great, Brian. Sounds great. Brian didn't even have an office. He'd given up his office to one of the ministries, and he roamed around the halls, and he'd grab you and tuck you in an office. You know, you'd share and pray there. And I said, that sounds great. But where? He says, well, we'll make you one, you know. And it just so happened they had a kind of an oversized upstairs staff restroom. And they took all the plumbing out and gave us that office. Of course, that led to a lot of humorous remarks as folks came in and visited us. But it was great. And the next adjacent room, it had all kinds of purposes. The CCOF, Calvary Chapel Outreach Fellowship, was in there a while as Brian was overseeing that. And it was storage, and interns were in there. But for a good season, the women's ministry was in there, and women counselors counseling women, which was a, by the way, we'll get to that later. I mean, that's the way it should take place in the body of Christ, you know. Let the brothers counsel the brothers and the sisters counsel the sisters. And we'll get more to that later. But, some dear gals were counseling there. Well, one day, boom, I hear a knock on the door, you know, and on our office. And it was always unlocked when we were there. And boom, this gal comes in, and it was one of the counselors. She goes, oh, Bob, please, do you have a minute? Please, do you have a minute? Can you grab your Bible and come here quick? We've got a major emergency. And she began to pour it out that she was counseling a gal who had just tried to kill herself and was talking very suicidal again, was just in despair, all kinds of unfaithfulness and disaster in her marriage. And I mean, this gal was just, you know, the proverbial basket case buried 12 feet deep. Despair was smothering her. And this dear gal, who was a wife of one of the leaders in the church, you know, she just felt, and I said, okay, sure. And I just grabbed my Bible and went in there. And this gal, the combinations of fear, death, desperation, hopelessness, guilt, condemnation. I mean, she was just smothered all over her countenance in these things. My heart just went out to her immediately. And she shared a little bit, and the lady shared a little bit. You know, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And, you know, we'll talk about this later, but I was doing two things. Well, three things, really, that I think are very biblical. I love to do in a counseling situation. Listening, praying, and anticipating a scripture from the Lord. And the only thing that came to my heart in this panic and desperation was Psalm 23. And when she quieted down a little bit, I just opened my Bible and I started reading Psalm 23 and praying, Lord, give me a word from you right out of this passage. I sense it's what you want to say, and just let me pour it out to her in counsel. It was astounding how in like 30 minutes or less, the countenance of that gal and her voice and her perspective began to shift from despair, shame, anger, hopelessness, pain, to hope, peace, anticipation, expectation, comfort. I mean, the Lord is the counselor. And there was a troubled sheep, and here comes the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And with him as our shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, this is an impossible situation I'm in. Yes, but if he's the shepherd, I shall not want. Whatever is needed for this sheep at this time, the Lord Jesus is up to it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a fantastic hope to share in counseling, especially if it's an impossibility situation, which these days it seems like so often it is, you know. Hey, listen, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, the Lord is your shepherd. He owns you. He's going to guard you, guide you, take care of you, and you'll be able to say this, I shall not want. He's going to bring whatever is needed. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Of course, sheep need green grass. Spiritual sheep need the green grass of the Word. And he gives us restful feeding in his Word. He leads me beside the still waters. Still waters for sheep, a quiet brook for us. That move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That water from heaven. That's what's needed in counseling situations. The green pasture of his Word and the still waters, the comforting, reviving work of the Holy Spirit. He restores my soul. This dear sister's soul was shattered. The soul, the mind, emotions, will, personality, shattered. He restores my soul. Dear sister, I could hardly talk to her. I was just tearing up. I could hardly stand it. I could just see her husband had been mean to her and unfaithful. And I mean, it was awful. to be able to tell her, you know something? The Lord Jesus is able to restore your soul. You think life's over, you're shattered, there's no way to go on. He can put you back together. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I shared with her, you don't know which way to go, do you? You're so confused. Coming here was as far as you could think. But he can lead you in paths of righteousness. Righteous paths, the right paths that will bring him glory and you blessing and relief. Boy, what a hope. And that's just three verses out of thousands and thousands of verses from our wonderful counselor. I have seen the power of the Word of God in counseling situations so many times, I can almost get radical, fanatical, bold on this. Hey, if people are aching and hurting or hungry and needing, the Lord can counsel them through His Word. He's the wonderful counselor.